The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today if you're a regular listener to the program. And if you're not, why the heck aren't you? Well, in any event, you know that Todd was in Dallas all week at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, some wonderful interviews that he was able to do with you from there. He's making his way back to the home base in Memphis, so he's asked me to fill in, but fear not, you will hear from Todd coming up in our third hour of the program with a couple of interviews that he did down there that they did not have time to do during the live program or schedules conflicted. That's what's great for me as a program host. We go on location, we try to bring in people for the live program, but once that's done, it's a lot of fun then to pre-record some segments and, as we used to say, bring tape back to the studio. So you'll hear from Mr. Starnes coming up today with some more information from the NRB. The phone number that you're used to using is the same one we'll use today. It's 844-747-8868. I'll say again, 844-747-8868. Grace and Alan are at Team Starnes headquarters there at the Mighty 990 in Memphis, and I'm coming to you from our home here in the Cedar Valley of Iowa, News Talk 1540 KXEL, the 50,000-watt blowtorch. In Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, scorching Middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and a proud Todd Starnes radio program affiliate. I'm always happy to be here. It's always a privilege to talk to this wonderful audience in Starnes Nation, but today, it's a very special occasion, and so I'm really privileged to have the microphone. On this day, when the U.S. southern border crisis will be over. During the time of this show, I predict that it will officially be declared that Kamala Harris has solved the southern border crisis. There's nothing more to see here, folks. Just move along, step lively. It's been taken care of because Kamala is in El Paso. And it's not surprising that she would be allowed to take a victory lap. Think about what she has done in the more than 3 months since Joe Biden said that she would be in charge of the southern border. Her first major task in the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president. That's the official name, the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president. She said so herself. You remember that. When she was told, it's your job now, you're going to have to take care of the southern border, she immediately got on a plane to make sure that the southern border of Ohio was safe from any of those other states that might kind of migrate up. We don't want any Kentuckians coming into Ohio, you know. And once the southern border of Ohio was safe, she then went to New Hampshire to make sure that the southern border of New Hampshire was safe. Don't want any folks from Massachusetts migrating up. And once the southern border of New Hampshire was safe, I believe she even went to Nevada. I'm not positive. I don't remember exactly because, again, she was tasked with preserving the southern border. And the fact that Ohio and New Hampshire, these states, are key in the 2024 presidential nominating contest and general election seasons, that's just coincidental. That had nothing to do with it. She's supposed to protect a southern border, then by gum, Kamala Harris will take care of the southern border. So any of you in Ohio, if your southern border is safe today from folks from other states, well, you have her to thank for it. Thank you very much. And then she decided to go and investigate the root causes of all of this. So why not go to Guatemala, go to Mexico, and stand there and forcefully say, don't come. What inspiring language. Don't come. And immediately, people stopped coming, right? We no longer had a problem because she told them not to come, and so they stopped coming. Because she wanted to get at the root causes of all this. Well, you see, in my view, that's sort of like there's a breach in the dam and you're calling structural engineers to find out exactly why that might have happened before you put a patch on the hole in the dam. But she is far wiser than I. And so now that she has fully investigated the causes of this, she's now there in El Paso so that she can officially declare that there is nothing to see here. And it would not surprise me a bit if those in the formerly mainstream media who are covering it will play right along. She was asked, by the way, why she's making her first trip to the border now. And her response was typical Kamala Harris. According to the White House, this is what she said. Quote, well, it's not my first trip. I've been to the border many times. Unquote. The White House then had to kind of support that in the statement that they sent to the media, pointing out that the question did say it was as vice president. Well, here is what Kamala Harris said after that. The important aspect of this visit, she said, her words, is making it after the work that she said she did in Mexico and Guatemala. And then the White House has quoted the vice president as saying, but the reality of it is that we have to deal with causes and we have to deal with the effects. She said, I am literally, folks, reading you from a White House email. And I'll tell you about White House emails a little later here this hour, but this is a White House email. She said that being in Mexico and Guatemala was about, quote, addressing the causes, quote, and this visit is about, quote, looking at the effects of what we have seen happening in Central America, unquote. Friends, this is the best they can do in spinning how ill-prepared this individual is to handle her own grocery list, much less southern border security. She couldn't handle southern Ohio border security. Oh, wait, she took care of that. I forgot. I told you that already. When the best the White House can do in spinning it and putting partial quotes in, hoping that a lapdog media will simply regurgitate it, when that's the best they can do, wow, that's not great. And notice the spin on this. They know from their own field testing that blaming Donald Trump's policies for what's going on now at the border, nobody's buying that. Their own people aren't buying that. So they figured that out. So now, well, I've gone to address the causes, and I'm going to El Paso today to look at the effects of what we've seen happening in Central America. It's Central America's fault. It's not the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president's fault. Not at all. The people at the border wearing Biden T-shirts. No. That's a Central America cause. That's nothing that this administration did, either explicitly or implicitly. So don't blame us. This is Central America's fault. But Vice President Kamala Harris will be there to fix it. Don't you all feel better about that? Don't you feel better knowing that the illegal immigration, the human trafficking, the increased crime, that's all going to stop now? Because she's there. And the other big thing that she was tasked with doing was to make sure that the Federalization of Elections Act, the various forms passing through the House and Senate. Remember this? Joe Biden as president, that's his full name, as in Harris administration with Joe Biden as president, he said she was going to be in charge of making sure that got through Congress. So again, a victory lap based on what happened in the U.S. Senate this week. Oh, it didn't pass. It didn't work. She was up there all dressed up with no place to go? Oh. Well, that's not her fault. That's the Republicans' fault. The Republicans who are insisting on the Constitution and our separation of powers and our government actually being able to thrive as intended without changing the rules for situations or depending on who's in power. No, that's the Republicans' fault. They're standing in the way of everything. So Kamala Harris is at the border. And no, this had nothing to do with politics, she was asked. No. This has nothing to do with politics. Donald J. Who? He's going to be at the border next week. Had nothing to do with it. Once again, brilliant political stroke by a guy who has never been a politician. He announced, we're talking about President 45 and perhaps 47, Donald J. Trump. Announced he was going to the border at the invitation of the Texas governor, and he'd be doing it on June 30th. Gave him 2 weeks' notice that he was going to go to the border. And so, of course, the White House, checking the polls, sticking their fingers in the air to see which way the wind was blowing, because that's how they govern, decided, well, we better send her to the border. We got to get her to the border. This is how Trump is not only just in their heads, he's living rent-free in their heads. You remember how the Democrats always used to say, oh, the Republicans are just so consumed by the Clintons. The Clintons are in their heads. And there is some of that, sure. But as I said, Trump's living rent-free in theirs. And it's set up so perfectly. What if they did not send her there now? And it's a pointless trip. They've even said there's nothing that's going to come out of this. They'll declare the victory lap. The mainstream, formerly mainstream media, will say, well, she was there. It's all taken care of. Nothing to see here. But nothing's going to come of it. All right, so by going now, Trump gets the last word next week, doesn't he? Pointing out that she didn't go where it was as bad, that it was a rigged deal, et cetera, et cetera. And not even the Democrat representatives, members of Congress in Texas, are buying what she's trying to sell on this. Trump gets the last word next week. Well, what if she had waited until after? Well, he would have roasted her quite appropriately for not going down there, and then it would have looked like she was playing catch-up, which she obviously is, even if she's going in advance. Once again, a brilliant stroke by President number 45 and perhaps 47. Kamala Harris will take a victory lap. And the closest she's going to get to any border after this is if she's making a run for Taco Bell. Yeah, you knew that was coming, didn't you? 844-747-8868. Joe, I'll get to your call after this short break. Why don't you queue up as well on the Todd Starnes Show phone lines? 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, Coast to Coast. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He's making his way back from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference in Dallas. We'll hear from Todd in hour number three of the program. 844-747-8868 is the number. Let's go to Gilmore County, Georgia. Joe is in Ellijay listening to the great WDUN. Joe, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Jeff, I'm doing great. Great show. I've never been so fired up. I teach a leadership class at Pooh's Barbecue, and I've got 10 or 11 young men and women who I think can be president of the United States. And one of them, the leader, Cooper Guyon, who's called into this great program, Todd's great program before, he went to Washington yesterday and sat down with Steve Moore, who was Trump's, wrote the book Trumponomics, and he's on Fox News nearly every day.
Sure.
He was on today. And Steve, and he got Cooper so fired up that I want to predict on this great radio show that Steve Moore is going to lead the Republicans to a huge win in the House and the Senate and also elect a Republican president in 2024. You've probably heard of Steve, but young people love him, and he's going to reach out to them, and he'd get them fired up. And Jeff, we're going to have a huge landslide win in the House and Senate, and then we're going to reelect, hopefully, President Trump with a huge mandate. So I'm really fired up.
Steve Moore is an outstanding individual. I've had him on my radio programs in Iowa. And, you know, we all know who he is, and we all know that the policies, most importantly, the policies were right. So what is it, Joe, that is resonating about these policies and the messengers with the young people that you interact with?
Well, these young people are very ambitious. They want to make money in the free enterprise system. They realize that Biden's plans to raise the capital gains and to raise taxes, open borders, they know that's wrong. And Steve's plans, as you well know, are to cut taxes, cut spending. We have a $30 trillion debt. And anyway, these young people are all leaders, and boy, they are fired up, Jeff, and you're going to hear a lot from them. But anyway, Steve Moore, in charge, I'm very close to him. I talk to him every day, and he was on Fox Business News for 3 hours yesterday, and then he was on Larry Kudlow's show. And, of course, Larry and Art Laffer were all three business partners, and Art and Larry were the best men in Steve Moore's wedding. You probably didn't know that, did you?
I did not. It did not come up the last time Mr. Moore and I talked. well, I'll tell you,
I'm going to call him when I hang up. I'm going to call him and tell him I was on with you. But I'll tell you what, Jeff, Steve's going to lead us to a great victory. And I think when Trump takes over, I think Steve Moore will be the economic advisor. He wrote, the Trump book, and very close to former President Trump. And anyway,
sure.
I'm just really fired up. The young people, and the one I'm talking about has been on, is called in the Todd Show. Grace got a great screener with Grace, and Grace knows that Cooper's called in. So anyway, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. It's the greatest talk show in America, and I appreciate you letting me participate, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You take care of things in North Georgia now. I tell you, and I've talked to Joe on this program before. Yeah, he is fired up. You know, there's nothing better. Now, I'm here at the radio station working, and so I don't get a chance to see much TV, well, any TV during the day. And actually, do you need TV when you have radio? You know, when you have radio stations like the one you're listening to in this program, do you really need TV? No, I don't think you do. Well, in any case, sometimes there's a TV on in my house, and the Kudlow Show will be on the replay. And there's nothing better than seeing Kudlow, Laffer, and Moore all on in the same segment. It's like, I got all day. if they're on. There is absolutely no reason why you want to do anything else. I would love to have Steve Moore back on my program again. I just found his phone number here in the drawer. So, Joe, tell him that the guy in Iowa wants to talk to him on the radio here again soon. All right, I'd like to talk to you as this coast-to-coast edition of the Todd Starnes Show continues. You can call in at 844-747-8868. After our bottom of the hour break, we'll get to Philip from Little Rock and you, I hope, at 844-747-8868. Todd will be here with some interviews in the third hour. I'm Jeff Stein filling in, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to talk to you about a very serious issue facing our country, court packing. It's the tool of left-wing authoritarians. Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's Supreme Court with his socialist cronies and paved the way for his tyrannical regime. But now Joe Biden and America's socialist radicals want to pack our Supreme Court with four new liberal justices. Court packing isn't some policy idea to improve the courts. It's a coup. A coup to take away your constitutional freedoms and turn America into a socialist country. That's why First Liberty Institute, the largest legal organization in the nation dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, is doing something about it. First Liberty recently launched SupremeCoup.com to serve as a one-stop shop in the fight against court packing and to help patriots like you learn the truth about what's happening in our courts. But more importantly, there's a big take action button that you can click to do your part to stop the Supreme Court coup. If you want to defend our God-given freedoms and stop the left's court packing scheme, head over to SupremeCoup.com/Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number. If you are with us for all three hours, either on the radio station you're listening to right now or on the stream, or you go back to listen to the Toddcast podcast later, then you're going to want to stay tuned because we have additional guests joining us. We've got Congressman Chuck Fleischman from Tennessee. He represents the great 3rd District of Tennessee. He'll join us just after the top of the next hour. 1 hour from now, I'll speak with Charles Murray. Mr. Murray is the author of a new book called Facing Reality. You may be familiar with one of his prior books called The Bell Curve. That's an hour away, and in hour number 3 of the Fun Fest today, Todd will be along as well. He'll have a couple of interviews that he brought back from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. Right now, though, it is time to talk to you on the phone at 844-747-8868. Let's go, Miss Grace, to line 2. It's Philip from Little Rock. Philip, thanks for calling in. A lot of great Todd Starnes listeners there in Little Rock. Thanks for calling. How are you this fine day?
Well, unfortunately, Todd Starnes isn't on the radio here anymore.
Well, I do understand that, but you found him, right? I mean, you found the web stream and the KWAM app, right?
Well, when he was here, I listened to him all the time. I've even talked to him a few times.
Yeah. All right. Now, I looked up. I know what you're going to talk about, and I looked up, and there was a little story in the New York Post a couple of days ago, but you're right. The story you're going to tell us about is not getting the attention it deserves. Tell me, please.
No. Well, a young man, Wednesday morning at 3 o'clock, was shot and killed by a Lone Oak County sheriff's officer. The 17-year-old kid, and I think the reason why the media is not covering it, is he's white. And it was a police shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the police officer's body cam never went to the sheriff. It went straight to the Arkansas State Police Department to investigate it.
Now, is that outside of policy? Is that outside of protocol then for the video to go directly there?
It should have gone to the sheriff first.
All right.
But it didn't. It went to the Arkansas police. It would have gone there anyway, and I think they just removed a step. But the only thing that we know here that happened is this young man was working in a garage trying to get his truck ready to go so he could go to work the next morning. Him and his buddy, a 15-year-old, were in the truck when they were stopped at 3 o'clock in the morning. The young man made a mistake. He got out of his truck to approach the police officer. Not the smartest thing, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truck started to roll back. The young man ran back to the truck and reached in to grab a chuck to put behind the wheel so his truck would not hit the cruiser, which, as we know, if you hit a police cruiser, that's a assault on a police officer. That's a felony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the officer grabbed his gun, and they carry a taser on their belt. But the officer didn't grab the taser. He grabbed his gun and shot the young man in the neck.
And killed him. All right.
And killed him.
So
okay.
Now, is it being covered where you are there in Arkansas? Do you think it's being covered to the same degree locally? And then we'll talk about the national, but do you think it's being covered to the same degree locally?
It's not.
You don't?
One television station had it 10 o'clock the following day, yesterday, on the news. And they didn't cover it very, very well.
And you're saying, and again, I'm separating local from national, Philip. You're saying the local folks aren't covering it. We know the national folks aren't covering it because the 17-year-old was white, killed by a police officer. You're saying the local folks are not even covering it.
Correct. And I believe it's for the same reason.
Okay.
Now, if this young man had been black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a completely different coverage here.
Hmm.
Everybody would have been all over it. Everybody would have demanded that the police officer be fired, charged with murder, and done this and done that. Although we don't know exactly all the real details yet, and if there's anything going to happen to this officer other than being on unpaid or paid leave until this investigation is over.
This is an interesting...
administrative leave.
Which is what, any time an officer fires a weapon, they're immediately placed on administrative leave. I mean, that's standard in departments across the country so they can investigate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is interesting, Philip. Thanks so much for making the call, calling into the Todd Starn Show, and thanks for listening in Little Rock, however you are able to listen. Now, as Philip was talking, I was doing a little web searching here, and I'm seeing a couple, three different stations there in the Little Rock area with stories about it. The family of the teenager has been protesting the last few nights outside the sheriff's office. And you know, there are a lot of things about this. Right. But here's what I do agree. I agree that if this were not a Caucasian teenager, you'd have heard a lot more nationally about it because it fits the narrative. Right. I'm not going to get into all the details of what the coverage is because I'm not right there in the home market. I'm seeing a number of things on websites. It was mentioned in the U.S. News website, New York Post website, etc. But I don't think there's any doubt that if the individual who was shot by the police officer were anything other than Caucasian, we would have heard a lot more about it. And you're right. This might just not get a lot of attention, although I do see there it's bubbling up there. So, maybe go to the sheriff's office and join the family in the protest tonight. That's certainly an option for anyone down there. Notice that's a peaceful protest. That's how you should be doing these things without any question. All right, 844-747-8868 is the number. Let's go to line one. Phil calling in from North Georgia. How are you this fine day, Phil? Thanks for calling the Todd Starn Show.
Hey, I'm very good, Jeff. A pleasure to listen to you and a long-time listener.
Well, the pleasure to talk to you, sir, as well. Tell me.
Got one question. About 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, there was a national news information about the CDC changing everything from 6 feet apart to 3 feet apart. That story lasted about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard another word about it.
Why do you suppose, first of all, they changed the rule from six, or the this not rule, but the advice from 6 feet to 3 feet? Why do you think they did that?
Because all along, 3 feet probably was good enough to be around anyone and not be contagious. Then you saw everybody put 6 feet apart, and have they spent way too much money just to go back and say, we made a mistake, which on top of the mistakes they've already made, and we can go now and double capacity for the restaurants, double capacity for the airlines, double capacity for, you know, anybody.
The thing that's interesting about what you're raising is the fact that you're never going to hear the CDC say they were wrong, right? I mean, they're just not going to do that. And to your other point, why is it, well, let's go with the merits of it. 6 feet, 3 feet, we've known for months and months that there was no magic number. They came up with a number. But then even early on, they were saying, well, you know, germs really don't travel that far. And certainly if you're wearing those worthless masks, the germs aren't traveling that far. But we all just kind of went, well, all right, 6 feet, fine. If, in fact, the science says that it's 3 feet, and you have to say it that way, right? You have to say the science because, yeah, okay. So if, in fact, it is the science of 3 feet, why do you think, I have my idea, but why do you think that it was just a blip in the news and never heard from again other than when you're calling the Todd Starn Show?
I think it is financial because everybody devoted everything to put these markers everywhere, put these signs everywhere. It doesn't matter what store you go in, there's a financial concern. Also, you got to think, we could have double capacity, you know, the schools, all the schools, 3 feet apart. You know, they're 6 feet apart now. I think it's a financial move, and again, they don't want egg on their face, so they had to stick with the narrative.
That's the key right there, is the narrative. Right? The narrative of, we said 6 feet. Well, if all of a sudden we're told that it's three, why did that change? Well, we're not going to hear that because it doesn't fit the overall trust the CDC, trust Dr. Fauci, trust the science. Well, if they admit they made a mistake, well, then we're not going to trust anything. Here's what they don't understand, in my view. They don't understand the fact that we already don't believe what they say because we're smart enough, just as you did, to figure out the inconsistencies all along.
I agree. I do agree.
How much confidence? When you hear, let me ask you finally, and I appreciate you holding on, but let me ask you finally before you leave, Phil. All right. So when you hear a news story and it begins, the CDC today said, do you listen to really learn what's next, or do you say, well, this is ridiculous, and you just kind of tune it out?
I tune it out. I tune
sure
it
you
out.
Do.
Yes.
You folks at home, raise your hands. Yes, I see a lot of hands out there. Phil, thanks for calling in from North Georgia today. I really do appreciate it. How many times were you wrong? Now, I've said this before, but I'll say it again just so that those of you who didn't hear me talk about this at some prior time here on the Starn Show so that we're all clear on this. At the very beginning of all of this, I was willing to give an awful lot of room to the experts, government officials, etc. Because this was something we'd never seen. We did not know what might come of it. All right, they say we need to flatten the curve. Here's 15 days to flatten the curve. Well, now it's more than 15 months. Okay, fine. I trusted them going in, even if they were mistaken, because it appeared they had our best interests at heart. But as we went through this, it became clear that there were some folks who were power hungry. There were some folks who didn't want to let loose of their new power. And so it called into question whether they really were acting in our, the country's, best interests. Masks, they don't do any good. Don't worry about wearing them. Well, we were just kidding when we said that to begin with, because we didn't want you all to go buy masks and then we wouldn't have any for hospitals. All right, so now that you say I need a mask, that's inconsistent. So are you lying to me now, or were you lying to me then? Well, you admitted you were lying to me then, but how can I trust you now? The credibility of so many of these folks has been absolutely shattered. And perhaps I was a little rough on the vice president during the first segment of the program. I don't think so, but let's just go along with that because I try to be a better person. I try to follow Todd's lead, be a better person. All right. Wasn't Kamala Harris the one who during the campaign said, if Donald Trump has anything to do with this vaccine, I don't trust it, I'm not going to take it? Yeah, she was. So now those are the same folks saying, oh, everybody needs to get vaccinated. Well, what's different about it? Or was it all power and politics? Well, we know the answer. 844-747-8868. Love to talk to you on the other side of this break. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? Made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNES. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNES.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. The flagship station of this fine national radio program is the Mighty 990 KWAM Radio in Memphis. And that's where Lindsay's listening today, calling in at 844-747-8868. Lindsay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, yeah. So I listen to you guys all the time. I'm a traveling therapist here in Memphis, and so I'm tuning in pretty much all day long.
Outstanding.
I've been working through some books I've been reading through Jordan B. Peterson. There was a book on his list to check out, George Orwell, Road to William Peer. Typed it in on Amazon just to see what the pricing was. And some suggestions popped up when I typed that book in. The suggestions were, do the essential work of unpacking your biases, Me and White Supremacy, a guide journal. And so my first thought is, oh my God, you can't make this stuff up anymore. Okay. First of all, I guess Amazon automatically knows I'm white. I don't know, maybe because I searched this book, or it was completely random.
Oh, you know, I have had that same thing happen, and I know one of the previous times I've been here filling in for Todd, we had Steve Dace of Blaze TV on, and his book, Fauci and Bargain, okay, it was obviously a play on words of Faustian, you would search for Fauci and Bargain, and they would automatically overcorrect, and that wasn't an accident because the book was getting very popular. And I see, do you do much social media, Lindsay, Twitter or Facebook, that kind of stuff?
I have gone off of Facebook because I'm tired of seeing it all. So a majority of my stuff I stick to I've kind of slimmed things down because of all this recent garbage.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Hey, thank you for calling in, by the way. I'll let you go now and then tell this part about what I see often on Twitter. They make suggestions, right? Like if you like, or Instagram's that way too. If you follow this person, you'll love this person. And there's never a connection other than, shall we say, a left-wing agenda. Again, staggering that such a thing would happen. All right, we've got just a bit of time left here in this hour. And I did some traveling yesterday throughout the state. And everywhere I went in my state of Iowa, I'm seeing big help wanted signs. $15 an hour to work at a convenience store or a fast food joint. And let me tell you, that's pretty good money here in Iowa for those kinds of jobs. Signing bonuses, the whole thing. We can't find workers. Well, thank goodness the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president has an answer. Listen to this.
I'm being critical, y'all. I really mean this. It was legitimate questions you're asking me. Asking me, well, you know, guess what? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more.
Pay them more. Is he now trying out for voiceovers in horror movies? Here's the thing. When they keep talking about pay them more, I'm introducing them to this concept called capitalism. All right, we're having a hard time finding kids to be lifeguards at city pools where I'm at. What's the solution? They're going to pay them more. Guess what? There's something to that. But when the Democrats are suggesting let's have this huge minimum wage, you don't need a minimum wage. Let capitalism work. And then whisper. That was creepy, wasn't it? I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Casting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you are listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this hour of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 tremendous radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. You heard him broadcast from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas all week. He's making his way back to the home base. You'll hear from Todd in the next hour of the program. I'm coming to you from the home of the Todd Starnes Show in my part of the world, News Talk 1540 KXCL. In Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Always a privilege to be with you here, Starnes Nation. Give us a call if you would at 844-747-8868. Same number as always, 844-747-8868. And we'll get to your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is Congressman Chuck Fleischman. Congressman Fleischman represents the 3rd District of the great state of Tennessee. Congressman Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the Starnes Show today. How are you, sir?
Jeff, I am great, sir. Always a pleasure to join you and Todd, and enjoyed the show so much. But joining you today from Capitol Hill, we just finished up our votes and have adjourned for the day in the United States House. But great to be with you, sir.
All right, in the previous hour, because you work for a living, you weren't probably able to hear my rant about the vice president going ostensibly to the border, but not really sort of kind of to the border. Tell me what, from your perspective as someone who understands the issue, what was your reaction when you heard about her trip to El Paso?
Well, Jeff, in my role as the ranking member, and I'll be specific, the highest ranking Republican on the Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee, I have made several trips to the border. I was obviously privileged to travel there with our last president, our great president, Donald Trump, to Calexico. But I've been to El Paso sector, McAllen sector, I've been to Las Cruces. I've been all along the border. My view of the vice president's trip today to El Paso is too little too late. What she needs to do is visit every sector along the border. The problems are worse in some sectors than others, but I think get a good understanding and get a grasp of the magnitude of this crisis, then come back to the American people, articulate some sound, solid solutions as opposed to the abject failures of this administration on this issue, which continue to pile up.
Now, I'm looking at an email, Congressman, that I get sent from the White House. And I shared this with my audience in Iowa this morning. I was away from the studio yesterday, did not look at my phone for 9 hours. And in that time, I got 59 emails from the White House account telling us how great they are. Well, here's one of them. The vice president is now apparently going to make a previously unannounced trip to the port of entry in El Paso. But she was visiting with young girls from Central America who drew pictures for her and told her what they wanted to be when they grew up. Did you have any similar experience, or were you actually there trying to figure out how to stop this invasion into our country from occurring? I'm getting a sense that maybe your trip was a little different than hers.
My trip was markedly different, and you're absolutely right. This Biden administration created crisis and crises. They incentivized this. We've had coyotes and cartels taking advantage of the United States and of the poor migrants. This is a humanitarian crisis as well. But, Jeff, I actually stood there at the border in El Paso and in other sectors and saw the influx of people, saw the detention centers, literally, that we just constructed last year, overflowing with people, and a system broken at all areas. And so many times we've said this, please, 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 to the Biden administration, go back to the proven successful policies of the Trump administration. I'll be specific. The Mexico buffer policy, where people had to actually wait in Mexico before they could come in. Time and time again, from breaking construction of the wall contracts, which is costing the American taxpayer millions of dollars, and is ignoring existing law. That's what the Biden administration is doing by not constructing the wall. Time and time again, they have continued to engage in policies that are clearly disadvantageous to the United States and have created more crises with this border situation. So it's shocking. It's wrong. And the American people need to do something about it. We need to be heard.
Congressman Chuck Fleischman of the 3rd District of Tennessee, that's the eastern part of the state. He's joining us live on the Todd Starnes Show, Coast to Coast. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And you've had a situation in your home state there of Tennessee, my home state of Iowa, the same thing. Plane loads of people just showing up late at night, the federal government denying that the flights even took place, dropping undocumented children places. I mean, this is something that anyone who hears about it rightly gets up in arms. How can you get the word out more broadly? Because the, as I call it, formerly mainstream media is not going to do it.
Well, the formerly mainstream media refused to call this situation a crisis. The Biden administration, it took them a couple of months before they used the C word. But they continue to get past. I cannot fathom a situation where if this was, God forbid, the prior administration, which really had pretty much cured this problem, but they would never give poor President Trump a break on anything. I mean, he could have cured cancer, and they'd have rooted for cancer. In this situation with the Biden administration, the mainstream media went silent. They know it's a problem. They know it's a crisis. We've just got to get word out. But think about it this way. I'm a member of Congress. I'm on a committee of jurisdiction, the Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee. I found out about the children being delivered in the night. Where? On the television. The Biden administration didn't even tell the elected officials of the United States that this was going on. Something is fundamentally wrong with this. It's failed policies. It's failed procedures. And they're not being forthright with the American people. It's just got to stop.
And as I understand it, they even denied to governors of states that it happened. I mean, it's a little hard to hide an airplane. But in any case, let's shift topics in our limited time here, Congressman. So I saw some numbers today indicating U.S. core price inflation climbed in May to 3.9%. Over the past 12 months, it's 3.4%, and I spoke with a financial analyst on my local program this morning who said we're easily going to be at 5% inflation for the year. That's not sustainable in your mind. Well, it's not in mine. Is it in yours?
It's an outrage. It's wrong, and inflation hurts everyone, but particularly hurts poor people and working class people who the Democrats claim that they're for. Remember all the increased minimum wages and unemployment benefits? What we don't realize and what they don't realize is that going back, and I hearken back to the great Trump administration, where we had record low unemployment, where we had robust American growth in the manufacturing sector. Why? Because we had commodities that were abundant. You can't get away from the free market. And Democrats just do not understand that because they refuse to acknowledge the fundamentals of economics. If you've got not enough supply, prices will go up. If you artificially affect the supply, like Biden did by destroying or stopping the pipeline that was going to be built, we need to get out and start producing our commodities in this country. Lumber prices are going through the roof. We've got abundance in this country. We need to take that abundance, get it out there, and drive prices down. But at every stage of the game, Biden's policies, whether it's regulations, taxes, are detrimental, and they are going to drive inflation. And the I word is a bad word for all Americans, but it's going to hurt poor and working class people and our poor seniors who are on fixed income. So, again, the Biden administration needs an education in basic economics.
It's not what you want to see coming out of a pandemic, quite obviously. We're talking with Tennessee Congressman Chuck Fleischman on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You can connect with the congressman on the Twitter machine at Rep Chuck. And you posted a tweet there earlier today, and so this is why I wanted to go down this road with you, where you were likening the Biden-Harris policies to Carter Mondale. Here's, and maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm just too optimistic or I believe too much good in people. I thought Carter Mondale was wrong, but I didn't think that it was sinister. It was just incompetence. I no longer have the sense of these people are just incompetent when you're dealing with the folks who are operating out of the White House these days. Am I being too cynical, Congressman?
Well, you raise a really interesting point, Jeff, and the old-time Democrats and the Democratic Party, I felt, were fundamentally wrong on a lot of issues. But I think years ago you could say in their heart, at their core, they were at least that they loved this country like Republicans did. When you look at some of the actions and activities, they're touting socialism. They're touting anti-American policies that are so detrimental to the great fundamental principles that made this country the greatest nation in the world. I, too, question their motives. If we're all going to be on the same team, we can disagree from time to time, but we've got to be on the same team, on the same field, rowing in the right direction. I don't think the current Democratic Party, specifically the progressive left, is there. I think their policies are literally tearing down our institutions. And if the American people don't start to stand up and vote and get folks who cherish traditional American values, conservative values, free market principles, God, country, I can give you a laundry list. We're going to have a country in the future that is not going to look very good. But it's never too late. We can fix it. And it's up to patriotic Americans to stand up for good values, back our police, back our military, love our flag, love God, right on down the line, and most importantly, stand up to this radical socialism that has been detrimental not only to this country, but to other countries around the world where they have failed for decades with socialism. I don't want that to be America.
Congressman, it is a privilege to speak with you. I'm glad we were able to make acquaintance through the Todd Starnes Show. Best of luck keeping up fighting the good fight, sir. Thanks for the time.
Jeff, thank you. It's always a pleasure. My best to Todd when he calls in, and I love the show.
Congressman Chuck Fleischman from the 3rd District of Tennessee, joining us live on the Todd Starnes Show Coast to Coast here on this Friday. We're in hour number two, and I want to tell you, coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll speak with Charles Murray. You may remember a book he wrote a generation ago called The Bell Curve. That ruffled some feathers. They could never attack it in terms of facts. They just, you know, yelled and screamed and waved their arms in the air, but it was factually accurate. Charles Murray has a brand new book. It's called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America. We'll talk with him live after the bottom of the hour. You are going to enjoy that conversation greatly. We'll take your calls on the other side of this break, 844-747-8868. I want you to do me a favor, please. Listen to the commercials during this upcoming break. And as you're listening to the commercials, use whatever means, whether it's your phone, your computer. I don't know that you can send smoke signals to get there, but maybe you can. But I need you to get a copy of Todd's new book. Todd Starnes' new book, Our Daily Biscuit. And you can go, and I'm just going to do it right now. Look how hard this is. I'm reaching over. This is great radio. I'm reaching over to my computer, and I'm typing toddstarnes.com, and the gerbils are running on the treadmill. And right there at the top of toddstarnes.com, there is a button that says Store. And if you go there, you can get a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, the brand new book that Todd has authored with Michelle Cox. And here's the thing. If you order it, you can get an autographed copy. And he'll write his full name on there. All right? This is no, you know, Grace isn't sitting there in Memphis signing books. Todd will sign your book. All right? And here's the last thing quickly. Get two. Now, here's why. Because you're going to want to share the book. And people are going to wind up not giving it back. And I tell you that, I'm raising my hand up right now because that happened to me. I had a copy of one of Todd's books. I enjoyed it greatly. I shared it with a friend. And she just conveniently never gives it back. So I have to get another copy. So save yourself the trouble. All right, go to toddstarnes.com. Right there on the main page, you can click the store button, and that will take you to all manner of things. Click on books, and you can get a copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, Todd Starnes and Michelle Cox. Autographed copy right there on the website. Get to. You're going to appreciate it. You're going to be glad I gave you that advice. 844-747-8868 is the number. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on great radio stations, more than 100 of them now, by the way, streaming live at toddstarnes.com, and also download the free KWAM radio app. That's the flagship, the Mighty 990 in Memphis. You can download the app and you can hear this show live and all the other great programming that they have there on KWAM. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You'll hear from him with a couple of great segments in our next hour. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Charles Murray. Mr. Murray is the co-author of the groundbreaking book, The Bell Curve. He has a brand new book out called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America, and we'll talk with him coming up after the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with you before we're done this hour at 844-747-8868. I mentioned you should go to toddstarnes.com and get a copy of Our Daily Biscuit. Now, this is where, you know, you got to pay attention. You know, maybe I don't pay attention enough. I'm kind of, you know, doing too many other things. Our daily biscuit? Biscuit. I thought he said brisket. I was looking forward to a whole different set of recipes. Maybe I should do our daily brisket. That would be nice. Our daily biscuit. Devotions with a drawl. Todd Starnes, Michelle Cox. Autograph books are available. Go to toddstarnes.com. Click on the store. Click on books. You know how this thing works, this commerce thing, right? So you can take care of it from there. ToddStarnes.com, and the book is Our Daily Biscuit. Get two, because you're going to share one with a friend, and then the friend's not going to return it. I mean, this is what happens to me. All right, we'll talk with Charles Murray after the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. We'll hear a couple of interviews that he recorded earlier this week while at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas. We'll have those for you in the next hour, among other things. But joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the author Charles Murray. Now, many of you may have first heard of him through a book he co-authored now, hard to believe, almost 30 years ago, called The Bell Curve. Charles Murray has a new book. It's called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America. Charles Murray, thanks so much for taking time to join the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Let's get one thing out of the way, because I know when your book, The Bell Curve, came out, there was a lot of people screaming and waving their arms, etc. But near as I can tell, nobody could actually challenge the factual basis. What is it that people have consistently gotten wrong about that original work?
Well, I could do 2 hours and I won't. I'll just give you the 30-second version.
Yes, sir.
The book was not really about race. It was about the role of intelligence in shaping America's class structure. And we were right just about pretty much everything. And the chapter on race got a lot of controversy because we had the temerity to say that we did not exclude the possibility of genetic influences on race differences. We said we don't know yet, that probably both are involved. And just doing that, believe it or not, that one paragraph was enough to set everybody off.
I believe it these days. I think it was probably more surprising then, because we have no tolerance these days. And so that leads me to ask, why would someone like you, who's already had a stellar career, why put out a book in 2021 called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America?
Jeff, we're looking at a crisis that is unlike anything that I have seen in my 78 years. This is not business as usual. We have a narrative. It goes under the label identity politics. Critical race theory is part of that. But it's the broader argument that the power of the state must be used to prefer some groups over others. And this is antithetical to everything the United States has stood for. The ideal of the United States was we treat people as individuals, no matter what their parents were like or their religion or their race, color, and creed. And we've fallen short of that ideal, but we've also made a huge amount of progress. Problem is now, it looks to me as if that is being displaced forever by identity politics. And so I'm confronted with the statement by the critical race people, what else can it be but racism that explains these continuing disparities in black crime and black unemployment and all that sort of thing? I'm saying, well, there are explanations. They're in the form of the much higher black crime rate, which affects the policing in black neighborhoods, and also in the form of differences in cognitive ability, which explain a lot of differences in success in the job market. I had to talk about these things if I'm going to get people to say how important it is to treat people as individuals.
Charles Murray joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. The new book is called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America. And you just outlined the two truths that you mentioned and that are documented in the book. Let's talk about the first one you mentioned, and that has to do with violent crime. So give us the sense of what distinctions are there and what might account for it, absent other factors.
Can't tell you what accounts for it. That's very complicated. And in fact, mm-hmm. the whole focus on the book is what is, as opposed to what ought to be or why we got there. With violent crime, it's really simple. You count up the number of arrests of blacks compared to the number of arrests of whites per unit population. And in New York City, the ratio is 11.6 to 1. In Los Angeles, it's 9 to 1. In Chicago, it's 14.5 to 1, and so forth. And furthermore, arrests are a really good indicator of actual criminal activity. When you've got those kinds of differences, Jeff, is policing different in black communities than it is in white communities? Yes, it is, because usually the police are encountering a much more dangerous environment. And as professional, responsible, well-trained police, they will respond to that more dangerous environment in ways which lead to a lot of the criticisms that we hear. It's not racism. It is non-racist people. I'm not saying there are no racists among the cops, okay? Mm-hmm. There are.
Sure.
But by and large, it is non-racist professionals who are doing their damnedest in the face of very difficult circumstances and behaving responsibly.
Is it... I'm trying to think of the counter, and forgive me for stumbling with the question, but I'm trying to think of the counter because I assume those who don't want to accept this as a reality, they say, well, it's precisely because of racism that police act the way they do, et cetera. And what you're saying is it has nothing to do, it's environment, much more so than anything else.
Look, just give you a quick example.
Yeah.
If the cops go to deal with a white guy in a middle-class bar who's drunk too much, they can do so without thinking there is much danger that the guy's going to pull a knife, that he's going to respond violently and so forth, middle-aged guy who's drunk too much. If the cops go to, are in a low-income black neighborhood and they have a guy who's drunk too much, he may have drunk too much, but he also may be high on some stimulants, and he may very well have a knife. And when they go to deal with that guy, they have to, as a matter of professionalism, anticipate the possibility of a violent response, which means they treat that person differently, and it's not because of racism.
Charles Murray joining us. The book is called Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America. The other item you mentioned is cognitive ability. Outline that, if you would, please.
Sure. First place, it's a difference in means. And I cannot emphasize too much, Jeff, that there is a broad range of ability within every race. And there are millions of black people are smarter than millions of white people. If you have a difference in means, the effects don't show up in individuals. If you're dealing with an individual person, you just size them up for what they are. And they could be anywhere along the range, whether they're white or black. But if you're dealing with large groups, and if you have aggressive affirmative action, and so the result is that hospitals hire registered nurses, and the black registered nurses that they hire have IQ scores that are an average of 15 points lower than the white nurses they hire. That doesn't mean there aren't brilliant black nurses. It does mean that the bulk of the incompetent nurses are going to be black. That's just a statistical reality. Affirmative action produces those kinds of discrepancies within occupations, and it does produce those kinds of discrepancies within occupations. It is a terrible policy, and one that we ought to have gotten rid of a long time ago.
So you have, and you told me on my program in Iowa that you decided someone has to speak, and you were in a good position to speak. Outline that, if you would, for the national audience.
Sure. If I were a 35-year-old assistant professor who wanted to get tenure at a good university and I wrote this book, I would be canceled. My career would be ruined. I'm 78 years old. My career is what it is. This book is not going to change it. And I am in a position to say it. And somebody has to say it. And this sounds so too self-important. But I was one of the few people that can do it without risking just unacceptable risks to my career.
It's not self-important. It's a fact in this cancel culture, stifle opposition society that some are trying to impose. Let me ask you lastly, and take as long as you need to answer this, but so let's say people are awakened to this. They hear you speak. They read the book Facing Reality. What can they do? I mean, I guess this is the thing that we talk about all the time. I've talked about it here with Todd's audience. I talk about it on my program. People say, what can we do? All right, so let's get people informed. And now what can they do?
The first thing that I want white listeners not to do is to have a very natural reaction to be told that you are racist, that you're evil, that you're responsible for all the problems that blacks have. And you say to yourself, none of that is true. When you hear that, don't say, okay, if they can play the race card, so can I. We can, the whites can be an identity as well as blacks and anybody else. That way lies disaster, Jeff. If we do that, then any similarity to the America in which you're judged as individuals will disappear. What is important, and believe me, I don't think these are panaceas. We aren't going to get rid of affirmative action, which would solve a lot of the problems. But at least, and now I'm speaking to your left of center listeners who still believe in the American creed of treating people as individuals. Say that out loud to your fellow Democrats, you know, not the people over in the far left, that they aren't going to listen. But there are, I think that the great majority of Americans still believe in the American creed, traditionally defined, that colorblind is not racist speech. It's the way we ought to go. And start saying that out loud. Do everything we can to stop letting the extremists on this issue drown out everybody else.
Charles Murray, thank you so much for taking the time today, for writing and speaking as you have, and we encourage folks to take a look at the book Facing Reality. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Charles Murray, co-author of The Bell Curve. You remember when that came out. And again, as he said, someone has to say it, and it can't hurt his career, and I'll say this part, and he has the data that backs it up. Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America. And the bottom line is, if we cannot even discuss truth, if we cannot even, for fear of being canceled or shut out, discuss documented data, well, then we truly are lost. But I really liked his approach on this. In essence, it's get yourself knowledgeable about it. Talk to people who are rational. And that's going to be the majority and win the day. Charles Murray, Facing Reality is the book. Now, if you go to a bookstore, you could buy that. You can go to one of these things like Amazon or one of those. Sure, you can buy the book there. While you're buying books... That was about the most clumsy segue I've ever done in 41 years of radio. While you're buying Charles Murray's book, don't forget to buy Our Daily Biscuit. It is co-authored by Todd Starnes and Michelle Cox. It is Mr. Starnes' sixth book. It came out this week. Get it wherever you get your good books. But if you go to toddstarnes.com, I almost slipped into Joe Biden there. I almost whispered. If you go to Todd... No, I can't do it. If you go to toddstarnes.com, click on store, and you can buy a book, and it'll even be autographed. toddstarnes.com for all of that. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. Love to talk to you during this next segment. We'll take a break now. Your call's on the other side. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
We are stepping up our game with bumper music today. This is not a criticism of any in the past, but Alan apparently has a career playing the hits. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd on this Friday. Glad you're along. Hope you stay with us for the third hour, whether you're listening to the radio or on the stream, or stick around if you're downloading the podcast later, because Todd has a couple of really good interviews that he was bringing back from the trip to Texas this week, and we'll share those with you in the next hour. So I see that the vice president is supposedly giving or having a news conference, and I don't know, I was just having lunch, and so I don't really want to hear that. I mean, it'll just disrupt everything. But she did speak earlier, and I understand, Team Todd, we've got some audio from the vice president speaking earlier that we can share with the audience. If so, let's hear that.
Administration, it is important to be clear, is working to build a fair and a functional and a humane immigration system. We feel very strongly about that. And as you know, we inherited a tough situation. In fact, right here in El Paso was the launch of the child separation policy. You saw it as it rolled out on the ground in real time. We have looked at a system where people have been housed in inhumane conditions over the last many years, an asylum system that has been broken and that needs to be reconstructed. And in 5 months, we've made progress. But there's still much
okay,
more work
to be done. Okay, stop. In 5 months, we've made progress. Yes, you have absolutely ruined the security and health of this country because of your border policy. That's progress. It's not positive progress, but it's progress.
Right?
Thank you, Madam Vice President. I thought you'd appreciate that. We inherited this horrible situation by putting them in these cages. Who bought the cages? Who put the cages there? We need to have a humane... I'm just making notes on the minute or so that I just heard. We need a humane immigration system. Okay, let's not get caught up here in the scam. There's a difference between immigration and illegally coming into the country. They are not the same things. Don't mix the issues. Don't give me this, we need a humane immigration system. I'll have that conversation with you. We're talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about policies that encourage illegal immigration. We're talking about something she said, Biden wants me to focus on root causes. Of course he does. Well, we don't know what he thinks. But the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president, of course you want to focus on root causes because you then won't have to deal with solutions because you don't want to deal with solutions. It is a lot easier to say, well, we're going to focus on the root causes. Let's focus on the root causes of why the dam started to fail, as opposed to how do you stop the water from coming over, through, and around the dam. It's the analogy I mentioned last hour. Yes, focus on root causes, because that takes our eye off your lack of solutions to a problem you caused. Yes, let's talk about an immigration system that needs to be changed, because then it takes our eye off the ball of what you have permitted to happen with all this illegal immigration. I don't know. And you can just imagine. All right, let's just say it. I'm here in the state of Iowa. This is where we do caucuses, right? We're first in the nation. Literally, Nikki Haley and Tom Cotton are both in the state of Iowa today. And it's not to sample sweet corn because it's not ready yet. All right. So Kamala Harris was around Iowa a lot. If there's a more unlikable person who doesn't resonate with people, I have not met that person. And she's handling the border crisis. No, it's all fine. We're good, folks. Jeff Stein, thanks for being here. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and we're going to do our best not to, like, get in trouble. Yesterday on the show, talking about the Miss America pageant, and Keith Irwin, we kind of took a wrong term. I guess we're not supposed to say, like, bikinis or hot chicks. We're not allowed to use that terminology at NRB. So
I see.
But so I just, you know, we're trying to be good here.
I see. I understand. You have us.
We're in big trouble.
Yeah,
they've got, like, a running prayer list in the press center, so it's not good. So we're here with the Irwins. This is like the hottest, as in, I mean, y'all are very attractive, but hot as in y'all are on fire. I mean, you guys are one of the top gospel groups out there.
Praise
and
the Lord.
It's just an amazing thing. And Keith, we'll start with you. We got to put that microphone right up to your face there. Did you guys think, I mean, y'all are all brothers, sisters on the road. Did you ever imagine this is where you would be?
Not a chance. No, sir. We were just always trying to follow the will of God for our ministry and our lives. And with Dad being in evangelism for 48 years now, we just grown up on the road. This is all we've ever done. And, you know, he did it by himself for 17 years before he even met our mother.
Amazing.
And then he met his mom, and the rest is history. And this is all we've ever done, man. So we're just on the ride, and we're enjoying it.
Now, I think this is interesting, Keith, because you guys are all – it's Keith and Cody and Chris and Katie –
that's
all
right.
With K's.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's like the Baptist way.
Yes.
You know, everybody's
very structured.
Oh my goodness. Now, Katie, what's
yes.
this? I mean, so you're like the fashion guru of the group here.
Oh my goodness, I'm honored. Thank you.
So this is true. What is this like for you getting out there and just meeting? I mean, you guys are so approachable, you know, meeting your fans and the folks who listen to your music.
Hey, I'm having the time of my life, and I really cannot imagine doing it with anyone but my siblings. We have so much fun, and we have that special connection and special bond, we just have a blast. And meeting so many new people, especially young people, you know, kids that are our age, it's an honor. We have so much fun, and to share, you know, the gospel with them, and in our style of music is a very special honor for us. We have so much fun. We love it.
Now, Cody, I mean, this has got to be tough for you because you're married.
Yes.
And you have kids.
Two little girls.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
so do they travel with y'all?
They don't. Yeah, they did. Maybe back when we saw you last, Brother Todd, they did. My wife actually just took a job locally at a clinic, and so right there by the house. So they're back at home, and they keep the home fires burning for us when we get back.
But still, I mean, that's another interesting thing to juggle,
sure,
though, when you're out on the road because you've got your family there.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, we're very blessed in one aspect to get to travel as a family. A lot of groups don't get to do that, but we do leave. You know, Keith is married, has a little boy, and I'm married, have two little girls. So it is very important that they understand that what we do is very important, and they back us, and they're obviously all for the ministry, and they're cheering us on as we go and get to do what we do. So we're very blessed.
Now, I want to talk to Chris for just a moment here.
Uh-oh.
So I'm curious.
Okay.
Now, when you hear Southern, I don't mean to stereotype. You see,
right.
I got into trouble with stereotypes. I was interviewing a very well-known country music group.
Okay.
And I made a funny joke about how country music singers don't drink lattes. This country music singer drank lattes.
Okay.
He took offense.
Uh-oh.
So, Chris.
Okay.
Southern gospel, you don't equate that with sushi very often.
Okay,
normally it's fried catfish, not, you know, sushi, but you're a big sushi guy.
Big sushi guy, that is true.
You're bringing culture to the genre.
If that's what you call it, You know what, it's funny that our love for Southern gospel music has gone, as long as I can remember, our father has always raised us on Southern gospel, but also not just Southern gospel. And I think that is why, in terms of some of the CCM artists that we've known and loved throughout the years, and that has really inspired us, that our sound is definitely... The overused word is progressive, but you know what I mean? In terms of it's fresh. It fits us in our age, and that's
progressive in the not liberal sense. So progressive in the good part of the
you
word.
See what
I
mean.
Want to clarify.
You
just triggered somebody.
Okay.
But we got them untriggered. We're good. But also, you're a big literary guy, and I lived in New York City for many, many years.
Yes, sir.
And so we follow all you guys on the Instagram, and you are one of my favorite book haunts.
Oh. That is, you know what? That is, I will put that as my bio now on social media.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's I love those old bookstores.
Man, of course, man.
Now, Keith, I want to ask you a question. You know, we mentioned about, you know, the genre. It's been around for just generations. I mean, our great-great-grandparents were listening to this kind of music. And yet here you guys are. You're young. And there are a lot of other younger people that are being drawn into Southern gospel. And I'm wondering, why is that?
I believe because of our age, I believe they see it. It's simple. I think they see other younger people doing it, and I think it opens the door for others to do it. And I promise you, if us four could do it, anybody could do it. And but also, you know, I don't want to go old ball coach on you, do real simple, but man, we just want to stay in the will of God for our lives when it comes to whatever genre, whatever box we fit in. You know,
sure.
We're not really in control of that. You know, we just want to be in God's will, and whatever kind of songs or the movement or the style of it. You know, that we just want to stay and want to please God with everything that we have.
Yeah. And did you want to?
Yeah. And also, we just learned from that in terms of with young people, we've learned that they're, no matter the style, they're going to connect if they see your heart. Yes. You know what I mean? They're going to connect to that. And so showing them that and being authentic with them, that works more than anything.
And it's a message of hope. You know, young people today, they're just looking for something to cling to. And the truth and love, and that's what the gospel is. It's a message of hope and that we have in Jesus Christ.
No matter the genre.
Seriously, and it's that I think it's the authenticity. You know, it's the songs, it's the lyrics that really impact the heart.
You're right.
Real quick, I know y'all have to, I mean, you guys are popular here.
Please.
I mean, do y'all have people? Have you got to that point where you have your people?
Somewhere.
Okay, yeah, so you've got people. All right. Well, that means you made it if you got the people.
Please.
I do want to ask, though, about the Grammys. I mean, that was like a huge, huge. What was that like?
Insane.
I mean, there are no words to describe. Because, I mean, the biggest thing is, since we've been singing together like this since we were little kids, we never started with the intention of any type of recognition on that level. So when it happened, we literally... We were just dumbfounded is the best way to put it. And then even we won a Gospel Music Association Dove Award. None of us were together when it was announced. We weren't filming reactions or anything because we were that unassuming. We were just honored to be nominated. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. We really were. So the fact that God's opening these doors and blessing us with this in this season in our life is just truly incredible, and we're thankful to do it together.
And you know, guys, the thing is, when you go into those things, those big national awards, you got to practice your face, you know, because they're always on you with the camera. You know, you don't want to be that one person is like, sorry, so-and-so. You know, it's like, praise the Lord.
That's right. Yes.
Got to do that.
Looking at you, Keith.
No, that's exactly right. I know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, guys, you know, one of the things, you know, about COVID, and we'll wrap it with this, but, you know, we were going to have you guys with us at our big annual gathering.
We were looking forward to that.
At the Billy Graham thing. So, but we're going to do that. We're going to do that again, and we'll have to get you guys back.
Yes.
So if we can book you now that y'all are like Grammys,
we would be honored to.
We'll have our people call your people.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Wow, we have lost control of this interview. The Irwins, ladies and gentlemen, I have their music on my smartphone, and you need their music on yours as well. Folks, you can go where? IrwinMinistries.com?
That's right.
All right. IrwinMinistries.com if you want to listen to their music, and you are going to be blessed. Guys, thank you so much.
We listen to you every day, Todd. I mean it. We really do.
Y'all are awesome. Yes, we'll be right back. Cool. All right, thank you, Kyle.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on excellent radio station, streaming live at toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, and you just heard Todd with his conversation with the Irwins. That was fun. I mean, that was fun to listen to. What a great conversation from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas. You heard Todd broadcast from there live all week. He's making his way back to the home base at the Mighty 990 in Memphis today, and he had that interview that we wanted to share with you. He also, while he was there in Dallas, had the opportunity to talk with the great Christian filmmaker Alex Kendrick. And that's a conversation you're going to hear right here on this very radio program after the bottom of the hour. So Todd will be back with that interview coming up just after the bottom of the hour. Love to talk to you, whether it's now or near the end of this hour, at 844-747-8868. Same number as always, 844-747-8868. Again, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, coming to you from my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, Todd Starn Show affiliate, broadcasting 50,000 Clear Channel Watch, scorching Middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and always a pleasure to be with you. I don't, on my program, have regular little segments, but I'm strongly considering adding one, and it would be, what in the blazes is Joe Biden talking about? And the thing is, there'd never be a shortage of material. Much of it is tragic. Some of it is comical, except it's the future of the world in the balance. Alan, could we hear Joe Biden speaking about vaccinations, please?
For people. There's a reason why it's been harder to get African-Americans initially to get vaccinated. Because they used to be experimented on. The Tuskegee Airmen and others. People have memories. People have long memories. It's awful hard as well to get Latinx vaccinated as well. Why? They're worried that they'll be vaccinated and deported. So look, from day one, something that Governor Cooper has been totally focused on is making sure we get as many people vaccinated, particularly people who don't have access to health care usually, who don't have ordinary...
Okay. Wow. So much there. So much there. All right, let's suggest something, if I may. And I guess until they turn off my microphone, I may. If I may, and I mentioned this in the last hour, why is it hard to get African Americans to get vaccinated? Well, let's see. I believe it was the current Vice President Kamala Harris, as in the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president. You're familiar. One of the least likable individuals, one of the most uncomfortable public persons in recent time. No connection with audiences whatsoever. Probably so thankful that there was an impeachment trial so she could bow out of the presidential race before she showed up with 0% of the vote in Iowa and New Hampshire. She, during the campaign last year, said, well, look, if Donald Trump has anything to do with this vaccine, I don't trust it. I'm not going to do it. And then immediately gets the shot. And then immediately is going around the country telling people they ought to get vaccinated. Well, it's the same vaccine, isn't it? The same vaccine that you folks took before you took office in the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president. You took the Trump vaccine. Something the president or the person playing the role of the president in the Harris administration. He didn't remember that at one point, but it's a different issue. So Kamala Harris is saying, if it's a Donald Trump vaccine, I don't trust it. Well, were you lying then? Or are you lying now? That might be one reason why African Americans aren't getting the vaccine. But here's just another, and yes, those on the left will explain it away. It's just good old Joe. He's always, you know, got his foot in his mouth. It's hard to get Latinx, which, by the way, is not exactly a phrase that you use. It's a phrase made up by people who have guilt and are trying to characterize a group of people. Latinx is not something that is well accepted by, wait for it, people in that group. And you would think a party and a White House that is the entire foundation of it is how to divide and segment populations and turn them against each other. You'd think they'd know that, but let's let it go. It's hard to get Latinx vaccinated. Why? Well, they're worried they'll be vaccinated and deported. Okay, so it's like they're going to show up and get the shot and be asked a lot of questions and then be sent away. Because as we all know, all people of Latino heritage must be illegal, and therefore they're going to be deported. Is that not the premise of his statement? Can't get Latinx vaccinated. They're worried they'll get deported. Sorry for you third and fourth generation United States citizens. Apparently this president thinks that you're all illegal. Yeah, okay, he was talking about a different group. You know better. Well, I know what the man said. I also know that he said something about poor kids should have every opportunity to learn as white kids. I didn't mean, no. No, I think sometimes truth slips out. I am not, by the way, one of these who says, oh, look at the president. He's not fit for office. Well, yes, I have eyes. I can see that. But let's stop talking about it. I know I've said this to you before, but I'm going to say it again. Because if, in fact, this president, the Harris administration with Joe Biden as president, if he's not able to serve, then it's the Harris administration with Harris as president. Which is worse? Frankly, I fear that more. I truly fear that more. I'm not at all comfortable with what I'm seeing out of the current president. But I'm really worried about her getting control of things. So it's, you know, and I've met Mr. Biden 4 times, interviewed him, talked to him. It's not the same guy, clearly. The last time I talked to him was actually in the 08 campaign. I guess it must have been sometime in 07 when he came to Iowa, and we talked, and I had covered him 20 years before, and we're talking, you know, and I was teaching at a college at the time, and he was talking to me about, you know, after he had the brain aneurysm and the brain surgery, he was starting to teach at the Vermont Law School, like on Saturday mornings, just something to do to, you know, in case he couldn't go back to public service. Okay, let's start with that one. In case I can't go back to being a U.S. senator, I'll be a college law professor. I'm not sure how comfortable I feel about that, but let's just move that along again. A lot of things I just move along. And he was talking about, this was hard work. You know, being a college professor is hard work. You guys really were. And I said, you see that woman over there? She's the dean of faculty. Tell her that, okay? Tell her that we work hard and we need more money. But he was engaged, okay? He was not this kind of, well, vacant, first of all, but this kind, with this horrible agenda. Which either means that he's had some sort of late in life conversion, or he's always been duplicitous, and you know, I don't care. It's either one. So clearly he's not what he was. And I have dementia in my family, actually on both sides. So I am aware of some of this, but holy cow. Let's just stop talking about it because I don't want Kamala Harris to be the president. We know Nancy Pelosi was setting that up. We know that now, right? Remember when she was setting up this commission so that we could always revisit that constitutional amendment in case we have to drive a president from office. You know, we want to make sure. Well, I wish I could forget your president. When he said that, that's the first thing I yelled out. I wish I could forget your president. It's a terrible disease. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Regardless. It's a situation where you've got two evils there, and she's the worst evil. So, I don't know. We got to be more optimistic. Todd will be optimistic with you after the break. Jeff Stein in for TS. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Stern's radio show, broadcasting live all this week from Dallas, Texas, the Gaylord Texan, here at the National Religious Broadcasters. And we are very excited to have with us one of my favorite film guys and just a great fellow all around, Alex Kendrick, the Kendrick Brothers. Alex, good to see you with us.
Great to see you again, Todd.
Yeah, we were talking about these kinds of events because we're bouncing around from all these different places. So you literally get off the airplane and boom, you're doing an interview.
That's right.
So you got to be ready. You never know what's going to happen.
At least it's Todd Starn, so it's worth it.
So we try to be kinder, gentler. So after a couple of cups of coffee. So, You know, it's we're going to talk about the new film you guys are working on, but I can't believe it's been 10 years since Courageous came out.
It's been a fast 10 years. And when I look at the movie, I think, man, how did that happen? My kids are almost completely grown. Most of them are in college. I have six, so the top four college bound, and it's incredible how fast it goes. But even more than that, the importance of the things we talk about in the movie Courageous, the principles, the fact that I get to see that play out over the last decade, in how I've been a part of their lives as a dad, the things that I decided to do even as a result of Courageous, and to see how that's played out has been really, really cool to watch.
What I found fascinating, we follow each other on Facebook, on the social media, and I see the pictures. You're with the family doing all this stuff, and I'm wondering, how does he find time to do that? I mean, you're doing the movies, you're out there doing the PR tours, and yet you're still a dad.
I'm still a dad. You know, you have to be very intentional. What I do is I'll set aside blocks of time, and I make sure that time is filled with investing in my kids, listening to them, going to their ball games, worshiping with them at church, family vacations, things like that. So I also, even when I'm doing a movie or traveling, I make sure that in the evenings, sometimes in the mornings, that I have time to communicate with them. Even walking up to talk to you, my daughter's texting me. And so I want to make sure that that line of communication is always healthy, even when I'm traveling.
And that's important. I mean, because that shows in the films that you guys produce that there's a quality about the family, you know, in all of the things that you guys do. And every time we announce that you're going to be on the program, we get text messages from people saying, tell the Kendrick brothers thank you.
Wow.
You know, that we can watch a movie together as a family.
Wow. That is very encouraging. I hope it's always that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about this new film project you guys have out, Show Me the Father. Tell us about that.
Show Me the Father is our first documentary. And, you know, I'm gonna admit to you that I have to really want to watch a documentary for me to sit down and,
yeah.
And especially in the movie theater. You know, most of us want to go to the movie theater to see action and drama and romance. Well, this project blossomed in a way that I could never have imagined. We have five stories, true stories, inspirational stories of fathers, you know, some good, some bad, some not even there. And it all relates to God the Father. And these five stories will stun you. We have some of the most surprise-ending stories we've ever found. They're all very inspirational. But it all ties into the fact that none of us are perfect dads. You know, if you're a father, none of us are perfect dads. But there is a perfect father. And so we talk about what are the attributes of God the Father and how can we be encouraged to either forgive our dad if he wasn't there for us or wasn't a good dad, or to be a better dad ourselves. But this is not just for men. You know, all of us have a father story. It's either going to touch your heart because you loved him so much, or it's a painful scar. But this movie is going to bring healing and inspiration to all of us.
Talk to me about the creative process, because there is a big difference doing a documentary as it is doing one of these film projects.
Exactly. You know, doing a documentary, you want to find the information or find the story and do an effective job presenting it. In this case, these five stories that we tell over 90 minutes, we did the research, talked to the people, you know, you find the footage, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of the day, you know, each of these 15, 20-minute sections, man, it's going to grab your heart. And so far in our pre-screenings, they've been standing ovations and people saying, wow, I've never seen a documentary like this. And so, I don't want to brag about it, but it turned out better than we expected, in part because of the way God worked in their lives.
Alex Kendrick, the filmmaker, here with us at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas, Texas. You know, when you look back at how Hollywood has really portrayed fathers, going back to the 1950s where there was this, you know, Father Knows Best,
right.
I mean, it was the actual name of a TV show, to where we are now, has there been an evolution, or is the dad of the 1950s the dad of 2021?
You know, that's a great question. The dad of today, if you look at Family Guy or The Simpsons or really every other commercial, it's usually that the dad is the butt of the joke. And I would say that dads are not portrayed well in movies today, and that there needs to be a return to honor and respect. Now, first, the dad has to carry that role, but if we give that role honor and respect, then we will, honor it more ourselves. And so, especially when I think of the fact that God is the perfect father, and as it relates to him, and as a dad, I am to reflect his love for us in the way I treat my kids. And there are very few really, really good dads out there, but that's when we're trying to invest in this field. We're trying to inspire and paint a picture of what a good dad looks like, not to bring guilt, not to, you know, make people feel bad, but to inspire them and encourage them and help heal people who did not have a good father.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that you just mentioned the Family Guy. I mean, Peter Griffin.
The family. Well, you know, there's a lot of funny cartoons, and though they're funny, you know, I watched some of them with a bit of sadness, thinking, "Man, where are the Andy Griffiths, you know, and where are the Little House on the Prairie type shows where the dad is an honorable, respectful man, and there's very few of them."
You know, it's interesting. I was out in California last year and speaking, and a family at the church I was at said, "Hey, why don't you come over? We'd love to, you know, fix you a meal." And I went over, and they had four kids. And we were just having banter around the dinner table, and they were talking about Andy Griffith and some of these other quoting from these shows. And I told the parents, I said, "I'm really impressed that your kids know this, you know, this trivia." And they said, "No, it's not trivia. We only allow our kids to watch TV shows from that, you know, from that generation." I thought that's pretty brilliant.
Which is not a bad idea, you
it
know,
is
because
not.
You know, your kids are going to get their concept of a father from somewhere. And so you want it to be as healthy as possible.
Well, congratulations on the documentary, Show Me the Father, and of course the 10-year anniversary edition being re-released of Courageous.
Yes, yeah, so Show Me the Father comes out in theaters September the 10th, and then 6 weeks later, October the 15th, we're re-releasing Courageous for the 10th anniversary. We call it the Legacy Edition, and here's what's cool about that. We shot new scenes with the same actors as part of a new ending to this movie.
Is that right?
So you get to see everybody age 10 years and find out what became of them 10 years later. Their kids are older, and of course all of us are a little bit older, and so there's a twist ending at the in this new version now. It's called Courageous Legacy, October 15th. So it's going to come out in 1,000 theaters, and people are going to be surprised. The movie looks better than it ever has. We re-edited it, recolored it, new score, new ending. It's going to be really cool to see.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Todd.
Great news. Alex Kendrick, ladies and gentlemen, live at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast, and streaming live at toddstarns.com, or if you'd prefer, download the free KWAM radio app, and you can hear the show noon to 3 Eastern, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, and if you're listening on the Nevada TalkNet, it's 9 to noon, where you live. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. So good that we were able to hear those interviews, a couple of them that he was able to record there during the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas. That's where he was broadcasting from all week and making his way back to Memphis now, and we're able at least to hear a little bit of those conversations. Great fun, great people, and I always love that as someone doing programs. There's great energy at these live events, and people are coming and going and being able to record some additional, as we used to say, taped to bring back. That's always a great deal of fun. Great to share that with you today. 844-747-8868. We've got a little time left and be happy to talk with you if you have something on your mind. 844-747-8868. As mentioned, I'm Jeff Stein, and I'm coming to you from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids in Waterloo, Iowa. That's my home base, and it's where I do a radio program every day right before the live Todd Starn show that you're listening to. So you can listen to the stream at my station, KXEL.com. I'm there 9 to 11 weekday mornings. You can follow Todd, of course, on Twitter and Facebook and Parler at Todd Starnes. You can follow me personally on Twitter, Instagram, and Parler. I don't have any time for that Facebook. At Iowa Politics, IOWA, at Iowa Politics, and my website is totallyiowa.com. If you go to that website, by the way, totallyiowa.com, you have the chance to purchase various books and DVDs I've produced. But it's nothing like you see can just see the setup coming right down the road, can't you? It's nothing like you see at ToddStarnes.com. No, no. Go to ToddStarnes.com for all the news you need. A lot of stuff there all the time that the staff puts up there, and Mr. Starnes weighs in as well. That's how you can listen to the show as well. But if you click on the store button at ToddStarnes.com, then you have the opportunity to purchase the brand new book. And again, as someone who has had the great privilege and pleasure of writing books, I'm just finishing my seventh. I took yesterday off from the radio show so I could go back and work with the people that I'm doing the book with. Todd was able to announce to you all this week that Our Daily Biscuit had launched. It's available. Todd Starnes, Michelle Cox, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions Withdrawal. It's available now, and if you buy it at ToddStarnes.com, you can get an autographed copy. That's fantastic. And I've suggested you should get two because you're going to loan one to a friend, and then that friend's going to conveniently forget to give it back to you, because that's what's happened to me with Todd Starnes books. I loan my copy out, and I never hear how I can get it back. So buy two. Make great little gifts. Wonderful stuff. What is it Governor Huckabee said? It's a buttermilk biscuit for the soul. Our Daily Biscuit, ToddStarnes.com. Click on store. All other manner of things there as well. So a couple of things in the news of some seriousness that we are following. The sentencing of the former Minneapolis police officer who was convicted of killing George Floyd. Well, the sentencing hearing is underway, and it's going to take a while. And that's not a critical comment. These things are not just simply a defendant walks in the courtroom, the judge gives the sentence, and out you go. There is a series of what are called victim impact statements. So, for example, in a case like this where someone was killed, family of the deceased individual will give a statement to the court about the impact on their lives as a victim of the crime. And so that's what's going on right now, the family of George Floyd reading these statements. Derek Chauvin, the former officer convicted of murder, he is in the courtroom. He's listening to all of these. They even had George Floyd's seven-year-old daughter read a statement. It's actually in a video message, which was good to reduce any potential harm to a young person in that situation. And then the lawyers will make their arguments. So we don't have, it's going to be a while, is all I'm saying. So when you heard in your little mobile alerts or you whatever news service you subscribe to and it said sentencing is underway, it's the sentencing hearing and it's going to take a while. And then we'll find out what his punishment is on this limited portion of the situation. He's got the civil lawsuits. He's got the federal crimes, all of that. So it's the beginning, really, of the long phase. But this will close off this phase. The judge already denied the motion for new trial. That's very I'll tell you as a lawyer, that's very normal because it is rare, almost to the point of extinction, that you're going to find a judge who says, you know, I presided over that trial and I thought I was right at the time, but now I concede I'm wrong and we're going to start over. No, I mean, it's pro forma. You file the motion, the judge denies it, and then the appeals court can take it up fresh. So that is going on. Also going on, Kamala Harris went to the border. That's nice. Problem solved. Crisis over. She went to the border. That's what they're going to say.
Right?
I know. It is hilarious. If it weren't so frightening. Well, in any case, now that she's gone, I'm sure that's what the formerly mainstream media is going to say, right? They're going to just simply say, well, you wanted her to go to the border. She went. But you see how they're framing this. They're saying, well, the president told me to look for causes. Well, sure, to blame somebody else because you can't come up with solutions to the problem you created. So that's still all going on. And they threw in a trip to the actual border as opposed to the kind of comfortable area she was in. Well, that's going on, and I don't know. I'm tired of wasting good radio time talking about her. So here it is Friday. I don't remember the last time I've been with you on a Friday, but as we start getting toward the weekend, may you all have enough good humor that you laugh like the vice president when she's nervously confronted with something of her own making. We need a bit of humor.
Right?
There it is. Look at her. The most unlikable. Okay, enough. I want to end this on a good note. And Grace and Alan say there is some audio that we need to share with you, so let's do it, folks.
What would you do for a Klondike bar? We're talking about chocolate-coated and ice cream-loaded. It's the most highly respected, talented, tremendous ice cream sandwich, quite frankly, better than the world ever thought possible. And we asked the vice president, she's a disgrace, Kamala, we asked her what she would do for a Klondike bar. She said, I would even go down to the southern border for a Klondike bar. That's a big step because she's never been there, not even one time. Anthony Fauci, we asked him, we said, what would you do? He said, I would take off both of my masks and never wear them again for a Klondike bar. Believe it or not, he'd do that for a Klondike bar. And Creepy Joe, he said he would stop sniffing hair for a Klondike bar. So we are going to take back our country, one Klondike bar at a time, and make America great again. Believe me.
Is that Sean Farage, I believe, on Twitter, posting that? All right, so that is the best salesman in the world, President Donald J. Trump, President 45 and perhaps 47. And that was the impression of him selling you a Klondike bar. That's fantastic. What would you do for a Klondike bar? What would you do for a competent administration in Washington, D.C.? It's another story for another day, I guess. All right, so what do you have to do this weekend? What you have to do is take some time to literally unplug from everything and just be. I tell you, I did this yesterday, didn't even look at phones for 9 hours. It was tremendous. I just said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to bring them into the building and just left them in the car. It was great. Just have some time just to be. And be of good humor. Take the time to engage with real-life human beings. Don't go out to the restaurant and text each other across the table. Don't go out to the restaurant and be texting with other people. Now, if it's two or four of you at dinner, it's two or four of you at dinner. Make sure to take time to worship over the weekend. And make sure you take time to go to toddstarns.com, click on store, and buy at least one, really two, copies of our Daily Biscuit, autographed copies at toddstarns.com. Oh, that's Toby Keith in the background. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Grace. Mr. Starnes, thank you. And thank you all for listening. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.